Well, good morning, everybody. We got a full house tonight. Amen. Are you ready to worship the Lord this morning? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your house, Lord, to worship you and lift your name on high. Lord, be in every part of this service. And all we do, Lord, we just want to praise you and lift your name up. And everybody said, amen, amen. Let's sing Count Your Blessings. We're in that the season of Thanksgiving, and I want to sing Count Your Blessings, see what God has done.
When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, and when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that to bear? Well, count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And so amid the conflict, whether great or small, and do not be discouraged, God is over all. So count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. We got something to sing about. Amen. Let's sing, He Keeps Me Singing. There's within my heart a melody.
There's within my heart a melody, and Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Sometimes he leads through waters deep. Trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, to see his footprints all the way. Sing, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. My every longing keeps me singing as I go. Well, and soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flights to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 song as I go. Sing Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Great singing this morning.
Amen. They are singing well this morning. Good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you together in the house of the Lord here at Nettles Island Church. Welcome today. And man, so many of you, faces that I haven't seen since the weather started to warm up back in the spring. But you're back today. So welcome today. And then I know that we have some new folks that are with us today, our very first time friends. And if you're a new friend of ours today, this is your first service with us, we have this little promise book that looks just like this one, little gray book. It's the Bible promise book, and inside are scripture verses that are categorized so that when you are looking for something specific, maybe you want to anchor a prayer to a scripture and trust God for something, you're looking for a promise from God, this little book will be a wonderful little tool to have on a table somewhere at your house. And so this is for you if you're with us today for the first time. And there's a desk that's back in the back, a stand-up desk on my right, your left. I'll be back there after the service today with a whole slew of these books. Love to put one into your hand and shake your hand and welcome you and thank you for joining us for worship today. And you know what? If you don't have a home church, or maybe you've just recently moved here to Nettles or right here on Hutchinson Island somewhere and you're looking for a church, come on back. Come join us again. Come check us out another time, a couple of times, and just see. You're going to find that this is the church that love is building. God is just doing so many wonderful and amazing things amongst us. And if you're looking for people that you can love and can love you, you found your home right here. Amen. Amen. A couple of things I want to do today as far as announcements is, let's see, I've got a ton of them. In your bulletin, and I'm not going to go down and read through all of these. I might highlight a couple of things, but you'll see the first thing there is tomorrow we're asking us to take some time. And if you can do this at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, maybe it's your dinner time, maybe before you sit down to eat, you could just take 5 or 10 minutes and pray for America and pray about the election that will be happening the next day. We are in a critical, critical place in America. There's so much diversity and division, and what America needs is Jesus. What America needs is to know the Lord and Savior of our lives, and He loves America. He loves the people of America. We've turned our back on Him in so many ways over the years. We need a revival. We need a move of God. So if you could join me tomorrow as I'll be praying at 6 p.m. And this is something that's worldwide, or at least nationally. It's nationally where people across America and Christians will be praying. I do want to mention the church directory. I don't know if we have a slide on that one or not. I've probably got this all mixed up. So if they bounce around, it's my fault, not Tammy's. But the church directory, some of you are coming back in and you had your photos taken last year before you left. Tammy has on the table in the back, there are instructions. You'll see them, full sheets, full white sheets that are instructions that will tell you how to take and load that app onto your phone or onto your computer. And Tammy said that she'll be available to you as well. If you look at that and say, you know, this is a little bit more than what I bargained for, you can give her a call or you can reach out and talk to her, and she will help you to get that church directory app on your phone. What a wonderful tool that has been for me. I just appreciate it so much, and it's just helping me to get to know people in a better way. I do want to mention Thanksgiving dinner. We're into November. Thanksgiving is going to be here in a few weeks, and tickets for the dinner that we do here that Nettles Island Church hosts will be on sale tomorrow through Wednesday, Monday through Wednesday, starting tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right downstairs inside the rec center. So if you're going to plan to come or bring family, you want to come by tomorrow, you want to get in line, you want to get some tickets, Bill and some of our other folks will be there to help to sell the tickets and get you all set. Also, there on the table as you go out the main doors by the elevator today, that table, there are two sign-up sheets that Bill has placed for setup and for cleanup. We need some help. If you're available on Thanksgiving to come in a little early and help out, maybe stay a little later and help with the cleanup, you know, the more hands that we put to work, the faster everything gets done. And so don't forget about that when you're thinking about Thanksgiving. We could use some help with that. And let's see, choir practice. This is not in the bulletin, but was asked to mention choir practice is going to be starting on Wednesday, November 13th. All right, on the 13th, coming up in just 10 days at 9 o'clock right here upstairs in the hall. And last but not least, well, let me make sure it's last. Let's see. Oh, I want to mention a thank you to all of you for your Samaritan's Purse giving. Did you see that at the bottom inside your bulletin? Give the Lord and yourselves a hand today. $8,762.01. I love it. I love it. $8,762, and that's just been such a blessing, and that money is going to make a big difference in the lives of people through Samaritan's Purse. And then the last announcement that I need to make today, and thank you for endearing all these announcements. This little jump rope, and this is in your bulletin, and Nancy said I could jump rope for you today. I'm not going to. If I was about 5 years younger, I might try. But this is made out of T-shirts. Those T-shirts, we're asking you to get some old T-shirts that maybe you're not wearing anymore. If you could get those to Nancy Geerling. Where's Nancy at? Let me just wave a hand or stand. There's Nancy right there, everybody. She's going to take your T-shirts, and she's going to make jump ropes and make them for the Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoe boxes. All right, it's Samaritan's Purse is doing that, but the Christmas shoe boxes. And there's a table back there. Cindy will be back there after service today. There are boxes that you can pick up if you'd like to participate in that. Pick up a box and then fill it for a little boy or girl. These boxes go all around the world, and in those boxes is the gospel message that Jesus loves them and saved, died on the cross to save them. But Nancy's making these. Man, that's beautiful. Can I have this? No, she says no. All right, I'll give it back to you after the service today. Amen. God is good, isn't he? He is so good. Would you do me a favor? Steve comes back this morning. We're going to sing the first song is How Great Thou Art, and that's a stand-up song. If you're able today, would you stand to your feet if Steve leads us in this song together?
Some wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not spared, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. And then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. Please be seated. Oh, man. I don't know about you, but that song gets me excited. Amen. It's probably the most common song we sing, but I believe we're going to be singing that song in heaven one day. Do you think so? Amen, amen. I was reading something not too long ago, and it was about how many times things are mentioned in the Bible. And I think there's some importance to there's some things that God really, everything in the Bible is important, but there's some things that he really emphasizes on. And being a worship leader, I kind of like this part, but we're instructed to worship over 8,000 times in the Bible. That kind of surprised me. I imagine if it's mentioned that many times, it's pretty important. You think so? Amen. Let's sing a couple choruses together. We all know this chorus. This is super short, just entitled, I Exalt Thee. Sing with me this morning.
I exalt thee.
Sing it out this morning.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Yes, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, oh Lord.
Sing it again.
Yes, I exalt thee, I exalt thee. I exalt thee, O Lord. I exalt thee, I exalt thee, yes, I exalt thee, O glory. worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
One more time.
And we give you all the glory. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. And sing high, we'll praise him high. We'll praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And give him glory, all ye people. For his blood can wash away each stain.
Sing that again one more time.
Sing, I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sin.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we praise you today. Let's pray together. Lord, we do praise you this morning. We lift our hearts, we lift our voices, we lift our hands up today to the Lord of Lords, the greatest King of Kings that has ever lived and has always lived eternally. We thank you today that we can come and we can gather and we can worship. We can praise you. We can honor you. We can, Lord, bring joy to the throne of heaven with our voices. God, as the praises go up, the anointing and the presence and the power of God comes down to minister to us in our midst. Father, we thank you today that you are on your throne. We thank you that you're our dad. We're told to call you Abba, that Arabic word that just simply means daddy. You're our dad. You love us and you care about us today more than we could even imagine or understand. And so, Lord, we are so confident as we come today to bring our burdens and our needs and our cares before you. Father, I think about those that are going through struggles today. And there are many even in this auditorium that, God, if we were to lift a hand and say, pray for me, their hands would go up. Lord, we think of them and we think of those that are newly added to our prayer list on the bulletin today, Lord God. God, we think about the Pennington family that this past week they lost their beautiful son and brother. God, be with Joyce and be with Bob today. Encourage them in this service. God, as we're worshiping you, just fill their heart with strength and with peace and with calmness. God, I pray today for LaDon Brickman, who lost her husband last Sunday morning early, or Saturday morning maybe. God, just be with her and encourage. And God, for Karen Neubauer that's here with us today, just minister to her. God, they've lost loved ones that are so precious to them, and the pain is so great. But God, you are a God that brings comfort. You are the God that brings the balm of Gilead. And you bring that balm to our hearts, and you encourage us, and you strengthen us. Father, I thank you today as we pray for those folks that are still battling the hurricane aftermath. Lord, some are looking for loved ones still. Others don't know where they're going to live, where they're going to lay their head permanently, God, or where they're going to find their next meal, God. We just pray over Samaritan's Purse and the others that are working, the Red Cross and Convoy of Hope and others that are out there that are boots on the ground, God, that they would bring Jesus to the people that so desperately need you, as well as providing for their needs. Father, we pray this morning for the Fristo family, our new missionaries to Iraq. God, they're traveling this morning. They're flying today over to Iraq, taking their lovely, beautiful family, their four little children. God, watch over them. God, give them traveling mercies, and when they land and put their feet on the ground, boots on the ground, God, let the power and the anointing of God be upon them. Let your angels go round about them and cover them and keep them and watch over them as they minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in a hostile nation. God, use every word that they say to bring souls into the kingdom of God. Father, we would be remiss today if we didn't pause to pray for America and the election that's coming on Tuesday. Lord, we're going to pray tomorrow night, but we're going to pray today. And we're going to ask, oh God, that you would intervene in this land. What we need is a revival. We need the empowerment of God to come. We need, God, your touch upon every part of every state, every city, every village, every countryside in this America needs to know that Jesus Christ is alive and that he died on the cross to save them and to change their lives, to give them eternal life, to give them hope to live to face another day. Father, we don't know your will. We don't know your plan, but I pray this morning that the perfect will of God will be accomplished on Tuesday night when the election ballot stations close, when all the ballots are cast, God, we don't know how it will go. And Lord, our nation is divided. It's them against us and us against them. And God, I pray that you would bring unity to America. I pray that people would start to feel the love of God in their hearts and that love could be expressed openly and outwardly one to another. God, help us to get our eyes first and foremost off of politics and lift them up to the hills from whence cometh our help. And the hills are the very throne room of God. Oh, you are the strength of this nation. You are the hope of this nation in this world. God, help us to understand that. Help us to know that you are on your throne today and that you are working to do great and mighty things in this nation and in this community and in the communities around this nation. Father, we pray for every need, every person whose name is on this bulletin, God, whether it's a healing, whether it's a financial, whether it's a relationship, whatever it might be, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray today in boldness and in faith and in the name and authority of Jesus Christ. We call these things that are not as though they are, and we call them done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I always feel so much stronger after we pray and we agree together because we lift up our burdens and we turn them over to Him and He takes them from us and He does what He's going to do in our lives. And you may be going through something today and you've been praying and the answer hasn't come yet. Listen, the Bible says ask, seek, and knock. And if you look up the verbs in those, it doesn't mean you ask one time and then God's just obligated. Sometimes He's working through some other areas in our lives and that's why that pressure or that problem or that difficulty may be there. And He's working something bigger and better in us while He's working through that. But don't stop asking, don't stop seeking, don't stop believing, don't stop trusting that God's got this. He knows exactly where you are, and you'll see that today as just how much He really loves you as we get into our message. Now, I want you to take your Bibles if you have them this morning. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 today. I'm beginning a series that's entitled A Love That Surpasses Knowledge. That's the series title. And the message title for today is Breaking Down Walls. So for the next several weeks, we're going to be in this series. We're going to be in Ephesians. You might want to just make that part of your Bible study, Bible reading plan the next couple of weeks. Start reading through the book of Ephesians. Get to know it. And so when we come together, you'll be like, you could probably preach it if I can't. You know, you'll be there, be able to do it. But we're going to talk about love. And isn't it great to know that we go to a church that our theme is the church that love is building? The church that love is building. There is an amazing, amazing empowerment of love that flows through this body of believers. I just am amazed every Sunday when I come and I look around. We are so diverse, and yet we are so much in care and concern and love one for the other. So we're going to talk about this morning in Ephesians 1, breaking down walls. But first of all, let me remind you of an important and a powerful moment in the history of our nation. It goes back a number of years, but back in the summer of 1987, President Ronald Reagan delivered a powerful speech in which he proclaimed this. He said, "President Gorbachev, or Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Do you remember that? What a powerful moment in American history. He was referring to the Soviet Union Communist Party president, Mr. Gorbachev, and he was relating to the Berlin Wall that had encircled West Berlin since 1961. And that wall crumbled 2 years later in 1989, unifying East and West Berlin with a new sense of hope and freedom and encouragement. Now, our series is about God's incredible love, which He so lavishly pours out and into our lives. We know that God doesn't just show love. We know that. The Bible tells us that God is love. He is the author of love. Love comes right out from God, from His heart, from the throne where He sits. God doesn't just have love. God is the embodiment of love. And so if you want love, you've got to have God. And understanding love from God's perspective is perhaps the most important topic or subject in all of the Scriptures. Understanding God's love, it's something that's not easy to understand in our finite minds because God is so much greater than us. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. We are finite and He is infinite in how He thinks and how He talks. Now, there are two big ideas that are found in this letter to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church, and I want to share those with you before we get into our scripture text this morning. The first one is that Paul teaches us that God's love is so high and so wide and so long and so deep that it surpasses our knowledge. Okay? So, on this side of heaven, we're never going to totally explore all of the depths and plumb the depths of God's love. We're not going to get there. I don't care what your IQ is, how intelligent you are, how much you read. You and I, as human beings, will never fully understand the fullness, the completeness of God's love. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 17 through 19. God's word says this, that His love is so high and wide and long and deep that it surpasses our knowledge. But we're going to try. We're going to learn some more about that love in this series, and we're going to grow in that love, and we're going to come out knowing more than what we knew today. You see, God's love is infinite. It's extreme. It's unlimited, and it's endless. It's endless. Try as we may, it can't be fully understood with our reasoning. But instead, God's transformative and all-encompassing love is meant to not just be known, but it's meant to be experienced, both personally in our own lives and corporately within the body of Christ. I want you and I to know that God wants us to feel His love. Now, we don't live by feelings. The Bible says the justified, the just, the righteous, those that have been saved by the blood of Christ, we live by faith. We trust even when we don't see. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says we're to cast out our feelings and not be able to feel as well. We just know that feelings can't always lead us. Feelings can lead us in the wrong direction if we live by our feelings, our emotions. That's why we live by the truth in the Word of God, and we trust the Word of God. But see, there's nothing wrong with feeling God. And I pray this for people that go through time. I'll say, God, just put your arms around them and let them feel your tenderness. Let them feel your love. Let them feel you. And if you've never felt that, begin to pray and ask God as a Christian believer so that you can start to feel the love of God, because that's really how we're going to experience the love of God. God's love is less a piece of doctrine or teaching to be understood, but more of something we encounter together that heals us and it sets us free. That's the first idea that's in Ephesians. The second one is that God is going to bring all things in heaven and earth together under Christ. Chapter 1, verse 10 says that in Ephesians. As humans, we are really pretty good at division. We're good at division. I'm not really talking about math here. We're good at division. We live as diverse and as a divided people within our world, within our nation, and even sometimes within our churches and families. And we've got Republicans, we've got Democrats, we've got atheists, we've got Christians, we've got Jews, we've got Muslims, we've got gay, we've got straight. We even have Amendment 3. We either want weed or we don't want weed on our streets. We have Amendment 4, saving the unborn. Divisions in our nation and even in some churches today. You see, we divide over politics, we divide over doctrine, we divide over the flavor of the ice cream we like the most sometimes. We divide ourselves into different tribes, I call us tribes or groupings, and we find it so easy to go to, and I quote unquote the word war, not physical war, but we war, we battle against one another, we attack others with our words and through social media outlets, and it's just America's in a mess right now. It's in a mess. And it seems like everywhere with just about everything and all the time, there's so much division, and especially now as we race toward Election Day. And that divisive spirit has worked its way, as I mentioned a moment ago, into many of the churches that one time just stood behind a pulpit and preached unity and preach love and preach the gospel of Jesus, that he loves us enough to save us and take us and snatch us from heading to hell and give us a name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and bring us to heaven one day. And there's division within the churches where folks who were once friends and maybe even acted like family are now our enemies because they don't cross every T and dot every I the way that I do or the way that you do. But instead of casting judgments, the body of Christ by God directing us is called to love one another. There are two commandments that Jesus takes all the Ten Commandments and any others that you want to throw in there from the 600 plus that God gave to the Jews, and you want to take all those, and God, Jesus brings it down to two. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the commandments, so it's all based on love, and it's in God's design and purpose that we Christians, we Nettles Island Church and the churches at large in America and around the world live in unity, especially with one another. If we can't walk in unity, we can't expect the world around us to do it. I ran across this morning. I woke up early and I opened my email, and I have devotions that come in there, and there was a devotion, a little teaching that was called "What are the real dangers of divisions within the church?" I thought, holy mackerel, I'm talking about that today. And then I started to read it, and I got this great little illustration that I think you'll like this morning. Maybe you've heard this one, I don't know or not, but the guy that wrote this is Greg Grandchamp. Don't know him, but he's the author of this whole article and this little story. He said, "Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, 'Don't do it.' And he said, 'Nobody loves me.' I said, 'God loves you. Do you believe in God?' And he said, 'Yes.' I said, 'Are you a Christian or a Jew?' He said, 'A Christian.' I said, 'Me too. Protestant or Catholic?' He said, 'Protestant.' I said, 'Me too. What franchise?' He said, 'Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Baptist.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?' He said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist.' And I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes Region, or Northern Conservative Baptist, Eastern Region?' And he said, 'Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes Region.' I said, 'Me too. Northern Conservative, Great Lakes Region, Council of 1879, or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region of 1912. And I said, "Die, heretic!" And I pushed him over the edge. Now, isn't that crazy? I mean, here we are trying to find a way to get unified in the dangers of divisions and all of these. Here's this guy that's so depressed, and his buddy comes, or this man comes along and starts to find out that they have all these things in common, and then they get to this one little thing that who even knows what the different council was and what they changed and did, and out of that, there was just an instant change and transformation. We can't be friends. I don't care about you. In fact, in this made-up story, just push them over the edge. How bad is that? John chapter 17, verse 21. This was our text a couple of weeks ago, but I just want to highlight it again. Jesus is praying. He's in the upper room. It's his last prayer before he goes out and he's arrested and he's taken before and beaten and taken before Pontius Pilate and then crucified. So this is his last corporate prayer that he's praying with his disciples prior to his resurrection. He says, I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I, he's talking to the Father, just as you, God the Father, and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. He's praying that we would be one so that the world could believe the message that we speak. I don't know if you've ever talked to somebody that was questioning whether God is real, or talk to an atheist. I have in my past occupation with the police department, talked with guys, and they've been atheistic or agnostic. And one of the things that always comes up says, you Christians can't get along with each other. You can't agree on your doctrine. You can't agree on, man, this. And they start naming things, and they say, if you can't get along and you can't figure it out, why would you invite me to join you? No, thank you. You see, Jesus said, I pray that we would be one just as he and the Father are one so that the world would believe that Jesus is Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God. Now, unity and love are both character qualities of Christian believers. We need to be praying for more unity in our hearts, more love in our hearts. That's what makes us us. That separates us from others is the love and the unity and living them out is possible because of Christ's atoning work on the cross. Now you say atoning work. What? That's a big word that maybe you know it or maybe you don't. What is it? Well, Christ's atonement on the cross for our sins refers to this. It's the reconciliation, the bringing back together, the restoring of a righteous holy God with an unrighteous holy humankind. And God, through Jesus Christ, the atonement, the work that Jesus did, sacrificing his life, his blood, and dying for us was the atonement that reconciled sinful mankind to God. Somebody said, some preacher years ago said it like this. Atonement is simply, you could break it down and say it like this. That means we are at one with God. Atonement, at one meant. Atonement, one with God. Basically being united with God. And it's the idea of unity. You see, God is a God of unity. God is a God that wants to bring together and unite and restore. For God so loved the world. All of mankind. And the idea is unity, the restoration of a broken relationship between God and humanity and that enables us to live in peace in our hearts and lives with God and in unity with another. Now, I'm going to kind of switch a little bit because there's two parts to what I'm sharing with you today, but I want to ask you a question. Did you know that you're adopted? Some of you may physically, literally be adopted here. Some of you may have adopted children here. But every one of us this morning are adopted. In the opening chapter of Ephesians, the Bible tells us that we have been adopted into God's family. If we've received Christ as our Savior, we were adopted. We sing it, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. So let's look at this morning. Let's look at our text, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. 4 and 5. The Bible says here, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms, now get this, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I don't know if you know this or not, but you sit here today as a Christian, and the Bible says, God says that you are blessed. You live under the blessing of God, according to this. You are blessed. God has blessed us, past tense, he's already done it, in the heavenly realms and with every spiritual blessing in Christ. It goes on to say that he chose us, okay, here comes the adoption, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. That's our goal. That's what I'm striving for. I'm not there yet. Most likely you're not there yet, perfectly holy and perfectly blameless, but that's what He created us to be holy and blameless in His sight, and positionally we are. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me for my sins, the blood of Jesus came supernaturally upon you, and it cleansed you of all your sins and all your wrong and all your stain. And when God the Father looks at you today, He looks at you through that blood, and He sees you positionally as blameless and holy. Now, that doesn't mean we can go out and sin this afternoon and say, Pastor Rob said, I'm covered. I don't know. We still have to confess. John says, confess your sins one to another. Confess them. When we mess up, we don't go back to the starting gate. We don't go, go directly to jail. We don't go there. We just stop where we are and say, God, why did I do that? Why did I say that? I know that goes against you. The Holy Spirit's convicting me. God, I'm so sorry. I confess this. Forgive me. And He forgives us. But God sees us positionally as blameless in His sight. And then it goes on and it says, in love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will. Now, there are so many things that stand out in these verses that I don't have time to get into about the doctrine of God and His love for us. But I want you to understand that God in His love, He chose us to be adopted as His sons and as His daughters through Jesus Christ. And so, first of all, when He looks down from His throne in heaven, I want you to note that God sees us as sons and daughters, not orphans. You and I, as Christians, are not orphans this morning. We belong to Him, and He calls us by name. Our Heavenly Father not only knows your name, He knows every detail about your life from beginning to end. The Bible says that He even numbers the hairs that are on our head. Listen, I know that you don't know how many hairs are on the person's head sitting next to you unless they're totally bald. Bald is beautiful, okay? Don't throw anything up here. We don't know the details of people's lives to the extent that God does. That's why He put that in there. He knows the very number of hairs on our head. That's how much He loves us. He loves us that much. He knows every detail about our lives, and we are His family. And He draws us close to Him and is working to do that. If we won't resist that drawing, if we'll yield to it, we'll walk close with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says this about us. It says, now if we are children, which we just read, we're in the family, we're adopted, we're children, then we are heirs. Heirs of who? Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. You see, the world is filled with trials and troubles and tribulations and difficulties, and we go through times. We go through situations. We go through sufferings. And the Bible says that we have been called as children, not just His kids. He didn't just adopt us and say, hey, I adopted you, but you're not really on the same level as my only begotten Son, Jesus. I'm going to treat you different. I'm going to treat you less. You don't have the benefits that He has. No, no, no. We're reading all this. It says, not only do we have the benefits, but we are heirs of God, our Father, and we are co-heirs. That means whatever God has done, the Father has done for the Son, He's offered that to you and to me today. That's a co-heir. That means we share in this together. And yes, right now on earth, in this life, there are tears, there are suffering, there are trials, there are difficulties. And indeed, if we share in those sufferings now, if we don't rebel against it, if we say, God, I don't understand it, but my eyes are on You. I don't know why I'm facing this surgery. I don't know why I'm facing this sickness. I don't know why, this had to happen, why my heart is hurting so bad. But God, I'm going to trust You. I'm not going to back up a step. I'm not going to turn away to the right or to the left. I'm going to keep my eyes on You. And if we will indeed share in those sufferings, we will share in His glory when we cross the finish line. You and I can't even begin to imagine what is laid up in store for us if we'll be faithful to the Lord with our lives. We're sending up blessing, and we're going to share in the glory that Christ has won for us at the cross. So this really means to me that all the benefits and the blessings that God has bestowed on His first and only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all is there. We will share in His glory. Now, why'd God do that? Why'd He pick you? Why'd He pick me and adopt us? Well, Ephesians 1 says He did it because it gave Him great pleasure to search us out, to go to the adoption agency and find us there and go down the hallway and say, I'll take that one and that one and that one. Well, just give me all of them. I'll take all of them. Now, we have to be willing to be adopted, to come into faith. But God's desire, great pleasure in bringing us into His family because He loves us so very much. The Bible says God so loved the world. That word for love is a variation of the word agape. That's a Greek word, agape. You've heard that before. I'm not going to belabor it. God so loved the world. It's a variation of agape. Then over in 1 John 4:19, it says this, He first loved us. He first loved us. You didn't love God before He loved you. He loved you before you were even took a first breath, before you even started and conceived in mom's tummy. God loved you. And that word that is translated, that agape word that is translated out means to love, to wish well, to take pleasure in, and to long for. You see, God was taking great pleasure and longing for us and wanted to bring you and I and the mankind of this world into family by adopting us. Now understand something. God's adopting you and me has little to do with you and me, with us, and very much to do with Him. You see, God's core nature is His self-giving love. And one of the best ways that God could express this love is to adopt us, to pick us, to choose us, and bring us into His family. God sees you as His son and His daughter, His beloved child. End of story. End of story. Christian, you belong to Him. End of story. And that means that you're never alone. That means that you have a Father in heaven who promises to take care of you and provide for you and tells us that our Father has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in and because of Jesus Christ. Verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 1 talks about the riches of His glorious inheritance that have been given and the incomparably great power for all of us who believe. God wants to deposit His power within us. Now, I learned something. I was listening to somebody this week, and it reminded me of something. Sometimes we go through life, and we're Christians, but we feel so powerless. We feel like, well, you know, I know what the Bible says, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, but I just don't feel like I have any power. My prayers seem like they hit the wall. It doesn't seem like I'm getting any answers. The power of God works in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that. He's holy. And if I want to live my life just any old Christian haphazard way, if the Holy Spirit is convicting me to stop doing a certain thing or come away from that or put that down, put that under my feet, move away from that so I can be more like Jesus, so I can live more holy, and I resist that, then there's not going to be any real power in my life. I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm saying that you're going to just walk through life wondering, where's the power of God? What this says here is that there's power that works in and within us. And so it's His incomparably great power for we who are His. And so we've got to walk with Him. And one of the reasons that there are times that I feel the power drains in my life, and then I have to now examine and go, God, what am I doing? It's taking that power from me. It's keeping the Holy Spirit who's in me from rising up and flexing His God muscles to get something done. So keep that in mind. The closer we walk with God is going to give us a greater endowment of faith and hope and power in our lives. I wish I had time to get into this. I'm going to move pretty quick here, Tammy, so follow me. First of all, orphans constantly worry about provision. They are constantly worrying about provision. I'm not going to read these scriptures or I'm going to be out of time, and I want to get to the second part here real quick. And orphans worry about protection. And those scriptures right there, if I had time and read those to you, they would just promise you and I, that we will never be orphans worrying about provision. Our daily needs will be met. We never have to worry about protection. God's our strength. He's there for us. He's going to protect us from the evil one. We can let that sink in this morning, that we are not ever going to be an orphan because of what Jesus has done for us. The second thing, and I'm going to the second point, so I'm skipping a little bit, Tammy, halfway down on page 9 here. In Ephesians 1, is God's plan is for His children to live in unity. We kind of touched on that in the beginning a little bit, but this is the second part of this first chapter, to break down the walls of discord and division. Paul continues verses 9 through and 10. He says, with all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will. He made known to us His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Jesus Christ. God's purpose, God's will is a plan of unifying and unity. The mystery of knowing His will. His will is to bring unity. Now, we're not there yet as a world. You know that. We spoke about that, prayed about that. The division is great right now, but it's coming soon. There's coming a moment when a trumpet is going to blast, and those that are Christians are going to hear that trumpet, and they're going to be called away, and God is going to bring us into a place where we are in perfect unity, and there's going to be some great travail for the next number of years that's going to happen on the earth. But when Christ then returns to settle down on the earth, there will be unity. The Bible calls it 1,000 years of peace when Christ reigns on the throne. But here's where unity works for you and me right now. Oh, our world's not in unity, but we should be, because we are part of something different than the world. We are part of the kingdom of heaven right now, aren't we? If you're a Christian, you're a citizen of heaven. Yes, you're an American, but first and foremost, you're a Christian. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. We pray it, we sing it, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your unity come, your unity be done on earth, at least in us that are part of the kingdom, as it already is up in heaven. God is so desiring unity in the body, and unity is what with us is what's going to be the greatest testimony to people that are searching for truth and don't know where to go and what to do. We often wonder, what's God's will? What's God up to? Paul gives us that answer in verses 9 and 10 that we just read. God is bringing all things in heaven and on earth together under Christ. Under Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord, that you all agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you. That you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. God's plan is to bring everything under the lordship and the unity of Jesus Christ, under His leadership. So you know that foul-mouthed neighbor of yours? God's plan is to bring that one under the loving leadership of Jesus Christ. You know that gossipy individual who always talks behind your back? Yeah, God is working to bring that person under the loving leadership of Jesus Christ. And for many of us, that child of ours that has walked away from the Lord and left their faith in the dust in their quest for life, don't lose heart today, church. Don't quit praying for them, because God is working in ways that you and I cannot see to bring that prodigal child back home, and to put a robe on their back and a ring on their finger, and to throw a celebration on their behalf in the streets of glory. We have kids and we have grandchildren and family that you once were in church and loved God, and they don't today. They don't know what they're believing. They're just trying to figure it out, and they're prodigals, and it's the will of God to bring that person back into fellowship and unity. Now, because God's love is so all-encompassing and transformative, we've got to adopt a new mindset that honors God. Some church folks have the mindset of us versus them, even with across the pews, us versus them. All right? And that creates division and conflict and competition. And we just read the two verses of many that say don't do that. On the other hand, an us for them mindset is about seeing all people as created in the image of God and worthy of love and forgiveness. An us for them mindset causes us to share God's life-changing love with other people consistently and over time. If we're always against everybody else that doesn't think just like us. Now, I'm not saying we agree. There are things we can't agree with the world. There are things that I stand and there are lines that I've drawn in the sand. But that means when I look at that person, I don't have to come against them and go after them and have a hatred toward them. But I know that they're being led by their Father, their God, who's not the God of heaven. And I can love them. And I can pray for them, and I can find the areas that I can find unity with them, and I can believe that God wants to bring them into His family and adopt them just the same. Let me just close this with what we've said this morning. First of all, God's love is all-encompassing and it surpasses our knowledge. We're going to learn more about it in these next few weeks. Secondly, we said that because of God's love, He's made provision through Christ that makes our adoption into His family as a son or a daughter a reality. And then thirdly, we said God is working to bring all things in heaven and on earth under the loving leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you this morning as we close, let's partner with God by loving others, by living with an us for them, not an us versus them, an us for them mindset when it comes to loving and serving others around us. And I pray that you and I will have a chance this week to live for someone that doesn't know Jesus, to show the love of God. We're not going to sing it, I'm going to say it, and then we're going to pray. Russ Taft, a number of years ago, he's a Christian songwriter, wrote a song, and the chorus goes like this: "You are my brother, you are my sister, so take me by the hand, and together we will work until He comes. There's no foe that can defeat us as we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand." That's my message this morning. There's no foe that can defeat us as we're walking side by side. Amos says, can two walk together unless they first agree? We can't walk together. We can't join hands and go in the same direction together. As long as we're walking side by side, as long as there is love, we will stand. Amen. That's God. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, we thank You today. We praise You today. We give You glory today for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You love us more than we'll ever be able to understand. We thank You, Lord, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Height, depth, things above, things beneath, angels, demons, principalities, people. It doesn't matter. Circumstances, nothing can separate us from Your love. God, You loved us enough and adopted us so that we could go forth now and we could love others and we could be like our dad. We could take on the characteristics of our Heavenly Father, and we could love others the way that You've loved us through Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know You as Lord and Savior, I pray that even now that they would just in the quietness of their heart offer this prayer and say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I've not been adopted into Your family yet, but today I ask You to cleanse me and forgive me and wash me of all my sins. Forgive me today. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I make Him my Lord and I bow to Him today. And from this day forward, I'm going to be part of Your family. I'm going to walk in Your family. I'm going to be a believer. For I believe in my heart, Father, that God, that You raised Jesus from the dead. And I choose You today. Father, we give You praise. Let this church really live even more powerfully than we ever have. That Nettles Island is the church that love is building. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you sing with me our closing song? Part of the family of God.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join us with Jesus as we travel this side.